Last month, students from all over the country hit the streets to demand stronger gun control laws. In the wake of that March for Our Lives, many local governments have proposed tougher restrictions on guns. One place with a decidedly different approach is Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, Kennesaw City Council passed an ordinance requiring heads of households to maintain working firearms and ammunitions. That's right, if you live in Kennesaw and you don't have a gun, you may be breaking the law. In a moment, we'll learn more about the difference the law has made in the community. But first, let's look at how mandatory gun laws fit into the gun control debate. Lois Beckett covers guns and gun violence for the British newspaper The Guardian. She's reported on mandatory gun laws and spoke with my colleague Leah Fleming.
Lois, last year you wrote about a place called Nucla, Colorado. It's a small town where, like in Kennesaw, residents are required to own guns. We're going to talk about Kennesaw in just a few minutes, but first let's talk about Nucla. In 2013, it passed this home protection ordinance. What does it say and what inspired the legislation?
In late 2012, there was a mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, and a lot of states pursued stricter gun control laws, including Colorado. So Colorado passed a law requiring background checks on every gun sale, even private sales between private citizens, and limited magazine capacity to 15 rounds or less. And Nucla is a town in very rural Colorado. It's a long drive to the nearest town that's big enough to have a Walmart. And they were pretty frustrated with, once again, what they felt were symbolic gun control laws infringing on the rights of gun owners without any safety benefit. And so one member of the town council looked to Kennesaw, Georgia, and their gun ordinance and proposed in a meeting, you know, why don't we do that here? Why don't we require every household to own a gun? And this was Richard Craig, a former board member. And he said, you know, he had kind of been joking about it, but everybody loved the idea and they voted on it and it passed.
So is it something that they actually enforce?
These laws are more or less unenforceable. In Nucla, there are exemptions for households who can't own a firearm because they can't afford one or if they're conscientious objectors. So no, this is not something that is really being actively enforced and isn't particularly meant to be. The thing about Nucla is that everybody had guns already. This wasn't about pressuring people to do something that was different from what they already had done. It was about making a statement about values and making a statement about the kinds of laws that were being passed in Denver by urban people who didn't necessarily understand what gun culture meant to the people of Nucla and were making lots of political decisions that weren't really taking every voter into account.
So was it controversial when Nucla passes in places around Colorado and in some of the major cities?
It's really important to understand that this law in Nucla is kind of an inside joke that the town played on the rest of Colorado and on the rest of the country. It got huge amounts of attention from the press, a lot of attention from gun rights advocates. They were praised, and you know, reporters from all over went and keep coming to the town. I was one of those national reporters that descended on the town. And you know, at the end of the day, like, this was a symbolic thing. You know, the Brady Center to prevent gun violence was upset about it, wanted to fight back legally against this. There was, you know, lots of outrage. But this is a town that's had its jokes and has stoked outrage before nationally. They previously got in trouble for hosting a prairie dog shoot that attracted a lot of environmentalists to protest hunters shooting prairie dogs. And so the town pretty much took it in stride. They were proud of it. There was some controversy in town over it being like a little bit too much of a joke. But at the end of the day, people supported it in town. And, you know, those outside town were sort of fighting against more an idea of what they thought the ordinance meant or what they thought gun culture meant in Nucla, which was very different from the reality of what the role guns play in the town.
So since this mass shooting at a high school in Parkland, Florida, several Florida cities have sued over a state law there that actually prohibits local municipalities from enacting their own gun control measures. Where do municipalities like Nucla and Kennesaw, where do they fit into the debate over gun control?
What's so interesting about local control over gun regulation is that it is something that the NRA and gun rights advocates have been fighting against for decades. In the early 1980s, Morton Grove in Illinois banned handguns, and this was seen as a very dangerous sign of what could be a local grassroots movement spreading against gun rights all over the country. And the way that gun rights advocates responded to this with and it was tremendously effective, was by passing preemption laws that said that gun regulations could only be passed at the state level. And state legislatures, because of the way districts are drawn, tend to skew more conservative. So one of the sort of underappreciated victories and centers of power for the National Rifle Association is the fact that they cut off local advocacy for gun control laws at the root, starting in the 1980s, with preemption laws that are now in place in most states across the country. And if you can't fight at your local level to pass local gun control laws, and if at the state level it's very hard because states sort of tend to skew conservative, then you're sort of left to push for gun control laws at the federal level. And that has been a tremendous barrier for gun control activism, because it's really hard to build a movement when the small victories that you might practice and build for are blocked, where you can't even fight that fight. And so for Florida cities to contest that isn't just contesting their right to pass gun control laws. It's about changing a balance of power and giving and potentially giving back power to local communities to start the gun control push at the local level.
Mm-hmm. According to the FBI Uniform Crime Report, Kennesaw had only one murder in the last 6 years. And I'm wondering, does that mean that perhaps more guns mean more safety, or is Kennesaw just simply an outlier, do you think?
This is the most debated question about guns in America. Do more guns make us more safe or less safe? And I think the answer is that it's more complicated than either side really wants to acknowledge. Some places like Kennesaw or Nucla, these were not places that had a lot of gun violence even before the gun ordinance. When I went there, I talked to the local EMT in Nucla, and he said there had been one shooting. Some guy had shot at a police officer the year before. And before that, the last shooting he could remember was in 1986, that sometimes people got drunk and there were accidental shootings, that this happens. But it wasn't a place with a lot of violence. And it's also true, and gun rights advocates will remind you, that since the early 1990s, the number of total guns in America has gone up by an estimated 70 million. So 70 million more guns. And meanwhile, the gun homicide rate has dropped by about 50%. So there's not a simple correlation that, you know, more guns equals more safety or more guns equals less safety. If you look at the actual national and even local trends for homicide, you'll see the pattern is a lot more complicated. And there's huge debate and conflicting studies over, you know, whether, for instance, encouraging more people to carry concealed weapons in public tends to increase violence or decrease violence. So I think it's just a little messier than anyone wants to acknowledge.
So why pass laws like this?
I think one of the fundamental factors behind this kind of political move is that gun owners are really frustrated by the way that America's gun debate is carried out, and the fact that it always happens in the aftermath of a particularly heinous act of violence. If you talk to NRA members about what they think about the debate, they'll always say the media only focuses on the bad side of owning guns, only on, you know, the horrific accidents or murders or mass shootings. And they don't acknowledge the times where guns are used in self-defense. In the NRA's magazine or in gun rights, advocates have long sort of produced lists and examples of when gun owners use guns in self-defense. But the bigger picture to either of these sides to say, are guns more often used in self-defense, or are they used in a suicide or an act of domestic violence or a murder, is that there are 300 million, 400 million privately owned guns in America, and most of them aren't being used in a helpful or a harmful way. Most of those guns are just sitting in someone's gun safe or in someone's bedside drawer, and they're not actually causing any harm. And I think it's really hard in this debate to really capture that there is definitely harm caused by guns in America. There are people who feel that the guns are very helpful and that there are times that made them safer. But there are so many Americans who know that their guns aren't being misused every year. And they feel like the debate misses that doesn't capture that guns aren't always misused, that a lot of people use them quite safely, that gun owners don't need a lot of extra safety training, that it's not accidents that are really driving America's gun injury and gun death crisis. It's acts of violence by people who are doing them purposefully. It's gun suicide. And so, you know, the idea that people who don't own guns are saying, well, why isn't there more gun training, or asking for more requirements, when gun owners know that most of them aren't misusing their guns, I think that's a real source of frustration.
Do you think we're going to see more places like Nucla and Kennesaw start to introduce these types of gun ownership laws? Could something like this even work nationwide?
I certainly haven't heard of anything happening at the national level, and I haven't heard yet of any cities who are doing at the local level. But I imagine that somewhere out there, someone's looking at Kennesaw, someone's looking at Nucla, someone's looking at the reaction to all the students marching across the country. And again, thinking, you know, it might be time for us to make a statement. And this is a statement that we can make. It might not have much of an impact, but it will express our values and it will show what our town believes in, no matter what people in the state capitol might think, no matter what's happening in Washington.
I was Lois Beckett. She covers guns and gun violence for The Guardian. She spoke with my colleague, Leah Fleming.